What's our big idea today? Our big idea is this. It is the job of parents to teach our children how to live while they're young, so that when they get older, they can conduct their lives in a way that will make them happy and productive for God. That's a long thing, isn't it? But that's our job as parents. Now, we start out, we have two groups that I talked to here. Children, number one, in verses 1 through 3. It takes more, but we'll take less time on that, obviously. We don't have the children in here, but listen to me. As you look at the word, as it talks to children, it has an action and an attitude. Number one, the action here in verse 1 is to what? To be obedient. And the idea, obedience for childhood and adolescence. Now, some of you may act like children, but you're beyond the age where you'd obey your parents. But, of course, the definition there is simply to obey, to be submitted to them, to do what they say for you to do. It's not conditional. As you look at that, it doesn't say obey your parents if they, you know, they're perfect parents. It's just obey your parents. And so as parents, I would encourage you to make sure that your children obey. Make sure they obey. Now, when we talk about the attitude, let's go on this commandment. This is God's commandment to the children. He says this is right. In other words, this is God's plan for the children. It pleases God, and you can't be disobedient to your parents and be in fellowship with God. That's the action. Now, the attitude is honor for a lifetime. That's where we all come in here, because when we talk about that, we recognize that we're to honor them by showing respect for their position as our parents. I think it's important for us to remember that even though we're on our own, we still owe our parents the honor for who they are. We're to honor them by caring for them when they're in need. And more of us get that way when we get older, right? And that's a big thing. I think as you look at the Old Testament, you remember in those days there was no Medicare, no welfare. And so, you know, the children took care of the parents when they were young. The parents took care of the children when they were young. And then it goes back to where the children take care of their parents when they're older. Now the outcome, look in verse 3. He says this, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on earth. As he talks about that, I think he promises two things. Happiness, first of all, or contentment, if you want to use that expression. The well-taught and disciplined child lives a happier and more contented life. I think that's true. And then secondly, a longer life. He says that your days may be long. Your days are lengthened, I think, because you are kept from those things that would harm you. As we teach our children the right things, we prepare them for the future so they don't get into the wrong things and destroy their lives. And I think a negative example, if you want sometime to go back to 1 Samuel chapter 3, the sons of Levi. Levi was a high priest. And the scripture says that he never told his sons anything. He never correct them. And they turned out to be evil men. And because of that, God literally took their lives. So be careful. If you don't train your children the right way, they may lose their lives because they get into things they should not get into. And I want to spend the most time on the parents because that's who we've got here. As we look at Ephesians 6:4, it's a very simple verse. And it says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Now, as fathers, we tend to do that more than mothers. But we're going to apply this to both parents, okay? So as parents, number one, he says bad parenting may result in several things. Number one, exasperation. Now the idea there is that it's frustration and anger that leads to rebellion. Now I know that as a father, I was harder on my children than my wife was. We tend to, you do this or else, you know, that's the way we see it, right? And God created us that way for a reason. So mamas could say, wait till your father comes home. Mostly. No, seriously. We tend to be harder. We don't have as soft a heart as mothers do. And sometimes the way we treat our children with such sternness, we can actually hurt them in terms of they get frustrated. They don't know what we want. We're too hard on them, and they can't seem to please us sometimes. And so that's why he says that. And in Colossians 3:21, he calls it discouragement. Fathers, don't discourage your children by being so hard on them. Hopelessness that leads to giving up any effort to please the parents. We can be so hard on our children that they stop trying to please us anymore. So there has to be a balance between the sternness and the heart for them. Remember that your children want to please you as a parent, for the most part. And they have their own agenda sometimes, and they can be, you know, problems. They are born with a sin nature. But don't discourage them. Don't exasperate them by being so hard on them. Now, how do we cause this reaction in our children? And I look back at my life to get some of that. And one of the things we do sometimes, mothers do it more than fathers, I think, is overprotection. Smother them, over-restrict them. You know, we're so afraid that there's something that's going to happen to them that we don't let them do a thing. There's a movie we saw the preview of the other day when we were there about this young girl that has some kind of disease that she's got to have all these filters in the air, and I can't even remember the name of the movie. And she's so smothered by her mother that she looks out the window, and that's all she can do. And then, I don't know the rest of the story, but it looks like she kind of breaks loose, and I'll find out the rest of the story one of these days. But sometimes we overprotect our children. Oh, there's so many bad things out there. You can't do this and you can't do that. You know? And so they wind up so tightly restricted that when they get out of our home, they go crazy. We need to be careful about that. We need to let them go slowly so that they know how to deal with the world. I know we'd love to have them inside so that nobody could hurt them, so that they wouldn't have, but that's not the way God planned it. God planned it that you prepare them for this cruel world out there, and you slowly let them go little by little. If you hold them in all the time, they never get to live their own lives. So we can frustrate them, we can exasperate them by being overprotective. Sometimes we do this through favoritism. You know, the firstborn is always the favorite. Sometimes. I was the firstborn, and I'm so special to my parents. No. Sometimes we say, I wish you were like your brother. Or I wish you were like your sister. Sometimes teachers do that. They have the firstborn is smart, and the next one comes. I remember our children saying, our oldest daughter was a good student, and they'd have the same teacher, and the teacher would say, well, I'm sure you're going to be just like your older sister. And Andre, our second, he didn't enjoy school, and he said, I'm not going to be, believe me. Okay. So we do that with our children sometimes. I wish you were more like your brother. He does everything right. Well, be careful. You know, we can compare them with the other one. Each individual has their gifts. Each individual has their interests, their abilities, and each has their faults. And we can celebrate the difference. And all four of our children are all different in different ways. And they have their own individual talents and their own individual weaknesses. As parents, what do? We frustrate them when you say, why can't you be like him? Or why can't you be like her? Let's just say, hey, you're great in this, and praise them for what they can do in this. Because just like, you know, in my own family, my brothers have their own weaknesses and strengths. My sisters have their own weaknesses. We're all different. That's what makes us individual. Okay. We can push too hard as well with our children. And what that says is you never do enough to please me. We can constantly be, oh, you need to do this and you need to do that. You need to go into this area. You need to have this kind of sporting ability. Not everybody can do everything. And we need to be careful. Sometimes I think that we push our children into areas that we wanted to be strong in. You know? Maybe your dad wanted to be a pro athlete, so he pushes you into being the basketball star or whatever. We need to be careful about that. We can criticize to the point where we discourage them. Always pointing out what is wrong with them and what is right. And as a dad, I tend to be that way. You should have done that way. How do we balance that out? Well, I think you can say a good thing before you say a criticism. You did a great job on the overall, but you missed one thing here. You know, we need to be careful. How do you feel when somebody unjustly criticizes you? Or all they talk about when you do something is criticized? Have you ever worked for somebody and all they ever said was the negative things about your job? We all have. How does it make you feel? So when you look at what your child has done, what do you say about it? Is it all negative? See, that frustrates us, doesn't it? When people do it to us. Son, you did a great job on this and this and this. Start with it positive. And then, but you know, there's one area you need to work on. If you approach it the right way, you can be encouraged instead of being discouraged. So be careful. I know it does it with us. Children respond by giving up or by doing the opposite when you push too hard. Sometimes they'll do it just to show you they're not going to do what you want. Okay. Using love as a tool of reward or punishment. What does that mean? Well, I love you if you do what I want. I'm going to push you away if you don't. You know, we treat them with respect when they behave the way we want, and contempt when they're not. I've actually heard people say, get away from me. You didn't do what I wanted. I'm not going to hug you. You know, I mean, how would you feel if somebody treated you that way? Let's do it the way the Lord does it. He loves us whatever way we come, right? Now, I'm not picking on anybody. I didn't watch you, you know, in your yard or anything. But I'm talking about, you know, things we see and things in my own life that I've seen. How about this? Physical or verbal abuse. Can you remember a time when somebody said something to you that hurt so deeply they just crushed you? Even as an adult, words hurt, don't they? You remember that thing we used to say when we were kids? Somebody tease you, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Is that true? No, it isn't. No, it isn't. And especially with our children, remember, they look up to you for everything they are and have. They believe that what you think of them is what's true. So if you call them things, they're going to believe it. Verbal abuse. You're never going to amount to anything. Wow. They usually live up to it. You may be doing that when you're frustrated, but remember, how do you feel when people do that to you? Physical abuse, we obviously, that's wrong. We know that's wrong. Now, good parenting should include, let's talk about positive things. We're going to the second part there. In Ephesians 4, he says, instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Those two words, training. Training means learning through discipline. Now, discipline, people in our time always say, discipline is bad. Oh, no, you're going to beat the, you know, daylights out. No, that's not what we're talking about. Because true discipline moves a child off the wrong path to the right path. And it should have several things. Number one, it should be consistent. Okay? If you discipline a child for one thing today and you don't tomorrow, what are you saying? It really doesn't matter. If you're late at work one day and your boss says, all right, I'm docking you, but the next day you're late and he says, ah, it's all right. Where's the line? You don't know the line. So we need to have clear lines for our children, and that's what discipline does. It needs to be consistent. Don't discipline one time and then not do it the next. Secondly, I think discipline should be complete. And that means discipline, both actions and attitudes. Okay? Actions and attitudes. If they do what you say, but they do it with like... Is that really right? If you do that to your boss, all right, if I've got to work 8 hours, what would happen to you? It probably wouldn't be good. So we need to train our children not just to do what you say, but to do it with the right attitude. And you need to discipline both. And it's hard to know sometimes. You know, when they turn around, they may be rolling your eyes, but you don't hear what they say. So, you know, we have to be careful with that. Okay. Complete discipline. Attitudes show the inner heart, and they must be changed for real life change to occur. God does that with us. God says, I'd rather you worship me with the right attitude, you know, than have all these... In fact, he told Israel, all the offerings you give me make me sick because your heart is not right. So work on the heart of that child. Work on the heart of that child. And then the outward attitudes usually come with it. Make sure discipline is fair. Fair. What does that mean? Well, investigate the crime. Only God is all-knowing. Sometimes what we think we see isn't what we saw. Right? Did that ever happen to you as a kid? When I was young, now don't tell my brother this, but I have a brother who's 2 years younger. You met Kermit. I love him. Finally. After all these years. But when we were kids, he'd hit me, and then when I hit him back, he'd go cry to Mama, he hit me. And so I get punished. So after a while, I figured, if I'm going to get punished anyway, I'm going to get a hit in. Okay, now look. You know, sometimes we don't see everything, but don't go on the first thing. Be fair. Investigate. We had one of our children that just wanted peace, and so she'd say, I did it, just so it'd get over with. You line everybody up. Okay, who did it? Confess. Everybody gets a spanking if, you know, that kind of thing. And so she confessed in order that it gets over with. I never call Trisha's name, but she was always the softest heart. You could look at her cross-eyed and she, okay. Be fair. Okay, number four, make the discipline appropriate. I know when we're frustrated and we get so angry, you did what? To the neighbor's car? You know. The type of discipline should fit the infraction and fit the child. One child, you may look at them kind of rough and they just bawl. Another one, you can spank them till the cows come home and they stand there and look at you in the eye. The type of discipline depends on the age and their response. I think there's a point at which spanking at an age a child, it doesn't. They may turn around and take that thing from you and, you know, work on you. But I think it depends on what they respond to. One child may not respond to a spanking, but they respond to you take their electronic gear away and, ooh, you understand. They understand. So you know your children. Be careful. Do what's appropriate. I don't think it's appropriate to spank a 14-year-old like you would a 2-year-old You know, it just doesn't right. You have to use your wisdom in that. But I think there need to be logical consequences. That's one thing. You break it, you buy it. Okay? I mean, I'm not talking about they accidentally knock a glass over and break it. But you know what I'm talking about. If they do something they told you and they break it, I think that they ought to be, they can, at some age, they're making enough money, you take it away from them so they pay for that. Another idea is denying their rights and their privileges. No TV, computer games, you know, that kind of thing. And by the way, when you put them in their room and you ground them, don't leave all that stuff in there. They're glad to be in there. You know, take the stuff out. Hey, make it, what do they call that? Solitary confinement. Okay. And then some kids might not respond to that, so it may take something. Physical spanking, I think, is a painful reminder, and it works best on some kids, but it doesn't work on others. But listen, never make it something that you do when you're angry. I've done it as a parent. And it what does it say to them? It says, I hate you. You're frustrated. You might want to back off when you're not so angry and say, we're going to get to this in a minute, but I got to calm down. I think it has to be consistent, complete, fair, appropriate, and loving. Loving. Now, they might not feel the love when they're feeling that battle, but they ought to feel it afterwards. I think that you can hug them and you can hold them afterwards. Never deny them your love. And I know you may still be frustrated with them, but they need to know, I always love you. What does that do for them? That says, look, your behavior was wrong. I don't like your behavior, but I do love you. So you differentiate between the person and the action. That's what God does, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He does not hate the person, he hates the sin. And God even provided for that, didn't he, for us through the cross. So be careful. Now, discipline is one thing, direction is another. And that's when you're training, you discipline, but you also direct. And direction, and it's not on your sheet, I didn't include that, you can put it on the back. It places that child on the right path so that they can do well and eventually please God. The direction doesn't just say you're doing the wrong thing, but it shows them the right path. Okay? When you have a child that you give a job to do, if they do it wrong, don't just criticize. Say, this is the way you do it right. That you should have taught them what to do right. The right way. So, son, you did this wrong, but this is the way you're supposed to do it. Let's try it again. Now, all that is nice on paper, but it's hard in person, isn't it? And we need to ask God to help us with that. So we have training, and then the second part is instruction, verse 2. Number 2 there. Instruction, admonition, calling attention to the right way to live. And that's in Deuteronomy 6. Turn to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 6. And that's a great encouragement to us. And I want to read those 9 verses. Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 through 9. Now, as you look at that, you recognize that this is from the Old Testament, but the principles are still true, okay, for our children. And by the way, if you're an employer, this can apply. I mean, a lot of these principles can apply to your employees, the way you treat them. But for children, we need to instruct them in the things of God. To me, that's the most important thing. Look at Deuteronomy 6, starting verse 1. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Now, this is Moses is fixing to die, and he says, this is what God has given me for you And I want you to share them with your children so they can enjoy the blessings and they can enjoy happiness from God. Verse 2. So that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may what? Enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. So he's saying, look, I'm giving this to you for two reasons. Number one, so that you can live longer, you can be healthy. And so that, number two, you can be happy. God does not give us his word just to oppress us so we don't have fun. But God says, look, these are the things I give you so that you can know how to live and so that your life can be fulfilling and happy. And that's what we want to do with our kids. You're not just disciplining them and teaching them so that you can have a peaceful life. That'd be great as a parent. One teacher, Dobson, says, parents don't care about justice. They care about peace. Just, I want peace in his house. That's all I want. Quiet. Okay. So that's what he's saying. But look as he goes on. In verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord the God with your God with all your heart and with your soul and with your strength. I think we need to teach that to our children by example. Notice it's not just keeping the law, it's doing what? Attitude inside. It's who you are inside. It's heart. Teach them to be different from inside out. Okay. 6. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Again, the inside. How do you do it? Impress them on your children. How? Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates. Now, by that, he doesn't mean that you write the Bible on your head. And that's a symbolic of the fact that it's everywhere for them to see, okay? By the way, some of the Jews did that. They wrote little scriptures on parchment. They put them in a little box and they tied them around on their head. They wore them around like that. All that does is make you look like a weirdo. Okay, when the Lord your God, I went too far. Okay, now, so what is he saying? You're to instruct your children this way. Number one, by example. You model it for them, okay? You model it for them. You show them how to live. You know, I told you about one time I was in line, and this little kid said a bad word, and his mama said, I want you to stop that blankety blank cussing. Boy, don't you ever drink, you know. You know, you understand what we're saying here. Okay, show them how. Show it to them. Secondly, in verse 7, he says, do it diligently, with vigor and enthusiasm. I'll say, oh, we got to go to church today. Man, that preacher, you know. Okay, you got to go to Sunday school. Now look, that old lady doesn't. Just put up with it. That's not the way. Show it to them. Do it diligent with vigor. And by the way, you're supposed to be teaching them the scripture. Don't leave it to the church, because they got a few minutes here. They have Sunday school. They have children's church. But we cannot feel their little heads in that short time. They need to see it in you. They need to see it in your home. Repeatedly, it's the key to learning. He says, when you get up, when you sit down, when you're walking around, there are teachable moments that you can teach them God's word. You know, when you're looking up at the sky at night, talk about creation. Talk about what God did. Okay, sorry. Make it a natural part of life. Verse 7. And you know, as he talks about that, it's something in everyday life. When they say something about death, teach them what God's word says about death. When they ask questions, spiritual questions, teach them from God's word what it says. Now that's going to give you problems because you've got to learn what it says. You've got to have it in your mind and heart. You've got to be able to share with them. So you need to be prepared. You need to be what you need to be as a parent. And verses 8 and 9, surround them with God's word. That's the idea. Surround them with God's word. And again, it doesn't mean literally write it on your forehead. That might help. You know, sometimes people put verses on their, where they do their makeup or where they shave to learn a verse. Well, put it in your house. Read it to them. Have a devotional time at night. Read the word to them. Explain it to them. Talk about it. Memorize it. Let's go back to the beginning. What is your job as a parent? It is your job as a parent to teach your children how to live while they're young, so that when they are on their own, they know how to conduct their lives and they know how to be happy and productive for God. A big job. A big job. You brought them into this world. You need to teach them how to live in it for God. That's a tough job. And it's getting harder with our society, isn't it? But we have God's help. Now listen, it starts out number one with you. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you don't have much to give them because you can't share what you don't have. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, I want you to do that today. You know, the Bible's clear, right? You're a sinner like the rest of us, and so are your children, by the way. They got it from you. They caught the disease from you. And mine caught them from me. The Bible says that we cannot do anything to get ourselves to heaven. We can never do enough good things. That it's a gift from God. Jesus provided that gift by dying on the cross. And you trust Him as your Savior to get it. Let's bow for just a minute. Now, would you start out with God the right way if you've never trusted Christ? You might want to pray a prayer like this. Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner. And I know my sin will never let me get to heaven. But I know that Jesus Christ died in my place and paid for my sin. And today, I'm asking you to forgive me. Make me yours. I'm trusting you instead of me. And then you might want to pray after that. God, thank you for this free gift of salvation. Now help me to live a life that says thank you every day. Every day. Every day. Heavenly Father, help us to be good parents, even if our children are older. Help us to know how to be the kind of people that show you out. Show them how to live. Demonstrate to them how to live. Because they learn more by looking than they do by hearing. But help us to be faithful too, to put in their hearing the truth so that their minds are covered with your word. And the Holy Spirit can use that to change their lives. We pray and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Sing with us, if you would, please. As we stand up in your time. You know, we make a lot of mistakes. We make them as parents. And maybe your kids are already gone. And you say, wow, I didn't know all this stuff when My kids were young, but God can still change things through prayer. God can change your children now, even if they're young, through prayer and through your example. In His time, He makes all things beautiful. Sing with us.